I want to just speak this morning on the subject of don't scrimp on the nails. Don't scrimp on the nails. I don't know if scrimp is an English word or not, but I'm going to use it anyway. In the title of my message, don't scrimp on the nails. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, now look for Psalms and go to Proverbs, and the next book will be Ecclesiastes. You know, the 12th chapter, Ecclesiastes 12, beginning in verse 9. It says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fashioned by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. I want you to notice verse 11. That'll be my text, but I want to say a few things before that. It says, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. So I want to use the Bible today and some wood and some nails and a hammer to illustrate a spiritual truth to you based on the Word of God that can help all of us of all ages for the rest of our lives. Now, some of you men have been called to be preachers or will be called to be preachers, and we need you. We need as many men possible to be preachers of the Word of God, whether they become pastors or evangelists or missionaries. That's God's business. But we need a lot of men that will be preachers, lay preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, prison preachers, nursing home preachers, you name it, children's church preachers. This young man that was just standing here, Sam, is 18 years old. He preaches downstairs every Sunday to our children. And I tell him, Sam, what you're doing down there is very important. You're teaching the children that are very impressionable, that will listen. I'm preaching to a bunch of adults who can't wait to get out of here and go home and get on with their week, and it goes over their head or in this ear and out that other ear, or they're proud and stubborn and hard-hearted, and they say, I've heard that before. I know it all. You can't teach me anything. Now, you're not all like that, but I said, you are probably having more influence down there on the tender hearts of children than I'll ever have on adults. I mean, ask adults, what did I preach on last Sunday? Ask them, what did I preach on 2 weeks ago? Ask them what I preached on 3 weeks ago. And they'd have a hard time. If you laid $1 million down, they'd have a hard time remembering it, let alone practicing it. Let alone practicing it. And we just do not attend to the Word of God with the childlike spirit that Christ asked us to. We ought to come with a childlike spirit to hear God's Word. But some of you that are preachers, I got actually two sermons today. The first part's going to be to those of you that are preachers. I want to give you five things to all of you men that are going to be preachers or maybe preachers someday. And you might want to take account of it, because some of you men that are sitting here thinking, I'll never be a preacher, God, you're the one God's looking at. That's just how God works. He usually picks out the one who says, I'll never do that. And then you will depend on him more. You'll trust in him more. But I want you to notice five things to those of you men that are going to be preachers. And by the way, this will help every mother with her ability to communicate to her children, that little congregation that God has given her. This will help every single father, these five principles that are taught here beginning in verse 9. It says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, number one, he still taught the people knowledge. Write that down. Number one, he still taught the people knowledge. We need to teach the people knowledge. Knowledge is facts. Understanding is how to use the facts. Wisdom is when then you apply the understanding to your own personal experience. I can't give you wisdom. I can give you knowledge, which is facts about different things. I can even give you some understanding on how to use the facts. But until you take that understanding and apply it to your own situation, your own life personally, I can't do that for you. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. But notice number one, the preacher, it says because the preacher was wise. We could say because a mother is wise, because a father is wise, he still taught the people knowledge. One prophet in the Old Testament said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lot of people destroy their lives and make wrong choices and live with lifelong consequences because nobody, especially fathers and mothers, never told them the consequences of certain types of decisions or behaviors. He still taught the people knowledge. Why do we have pastors? The prophet Jeremiah in the Bible said this in Jeremiah 3 and verse 15. He was quoting the words of God. He said this. He said, and I, God, will give you pastors according to my heart that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's why God gave us pastors. It says God has a heart. God has a heart for human beings. And from his heart, he gives us pastors. So where do pastors come from? The heart of God. The heart of God. Nobody, I don't think anybody would choose this occupation just for the fun of it. Pastors come from the heart of God. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge, that's facts, and understanding how to use the facts. It says, number one, he still taught the people knowledge. Now, those two words there in verse 9, he still, I believe there's an implication there that he just keeps on keeping on. He still, even in 2008 when people don't want to hear the Bible, don't want to hear what the Bible says, he still taught the people knowledge. We are told as preachers in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. And boy, the Bible is out of season in America today. Believe me, the Bible is out of season in America. But he says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So number one, preachers, he still taught the people now. Just keep preaching and preaching. If you get 10 people to preach to, preach on. If you get 100 people to preach to, preach on. If you get 1,000 people to preach to, preach on. If you go to the prison on Tuesday night, only 4 men show up, preach to the 4 men. If you get one person in your Sunday school class, like one of our teachers said this morning, teach on. Thank God you had one student in your class. He still taught the people knowledge. Number two, he gave good heed. He gave good heed, verse 9. He gave good heed. That means he really paid attention. Moms, you need to pay attention. Fathers, you need to pay attention. We need to give good heed to what's going on because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. We need to give good heed. We need to be wide awake. We need to be vigilant. We need to pay attention. The Bible says that preachers in 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse 17, it says they should labor in the word and doctrine. They should labor in the word and doctrine. Now that's hard work. Some of you might not think so, but look down at verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making of books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. We need some of you men who are going to study the Bible, who are going to labor in the Word of God and doctrine. We're going to shut our televisions off, get off the internet, get away from the video games and the sports and everything, get your Bibles out, and labor in the Word of God and doctrine. We need some people today, we need some men, some up-and-coming men who are going to be able to take over churches, who know what they believe and why they believe it, and who know what is right and wrong, what is truth, what is error, what is righteous, what is unrighteous, and can spell out and make a difference for generation after generation after generation after generation. The truths that never change. He gave good heed. We need some young men who are going to give good heed, who are going to start paying attention to the Bible. And number three, it says he sought out. He sought out, verse 9. Because he was wise, he sought out. Folks, the Bible is an inexhaustible book. You can study it and study it and study it and study it all your life and never know it all. There can always be new things that God can be teaching you over and over and over, and God blesses seekers. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, but the Bible says he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And if you will diligently seek the Lord, you'll live a rewarding life. You want to know what a rewarding life is? You don't want to know what a happy life is? To get into the Bible every day of your life by yourself and let God show you things you've never seen before. I mean, there's about 6 billion people on earth he could pay attention to. But to pay attention to you, I don't care if you're a boy or if you're a girl, if you'll get into the Bible, God will show you things every day and you'll never wear out the Bible. You'll never wear it out. Turn over to Matthew 13. Keep your place here now. In the New Testament, Matthew 13 and verse 52, I'm going to read. It says, therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Every scribe who is instructed in the kingdom of God, instructed in the things of God, will be able for the rest of his life to bring forth out of what? His treasure. Boy, I'll tell you, the richest people on earth are those that know God and know about God and have entered it. It says about Christ in Colossians 2 and verse 3, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is inexhaustible. God is inexhaustible. You can learn and learn and learn and learn and learn about Christ, about God, the rest of your life, and he will satisfy and satisfy and satisfy. He sought out. The Bible is inexhaustible, and we as preachers, you men that are going to be preachers, you need to constantly be bringing out to people things new and old. There's people that just got saved need to hear some of the old stuff so they can get grounded and settled and established. And there's others that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. They need some of the new stuff. Something new that they haven't learned before. God can do it. And the amazing thing is, back in our text here, God can do it from one shepherd. Imagine that. It says at the verse, end of verse number 11, which are given from one shepherd. It's possible for God to take one man and just to keep feeding him and feeding him and feeding him and feeding him and feeding him for the rest of his life, things new and old, and then he in part can then lay that out for you. God can do that. And we need men. We need men who will be preachers, men who will seek out things and find things. And then number four, he set in order many proverbs. He set in order many proverbs. Now let me tell you young people something. There's one book in the Bible that you ought to read over and over and over again in your life. It is the book of Proverbs. It's right after Psalms. It helps people of all ages. But that book will teach you who to marry and who not to marry. That book will teach you that there's 12 different types of women on earth. Which ones to avoid, men, young men, and which ones to embrace, and which ones to pursue. It'll tell you how to handle your money. It'll teach you to stay away from loans and to stay away from usury and surety. It'll teach you how to speak. It'll teach you how not to speak. It'll teach you how to raise your children. It'll teach you how to be a father. It'll teach you how to be a mother. It'll teach you advice for single people. If you're a government official, it'll teach you advice on being a government official. It'll teach you insight into your psyche. I can't tell you all of the emotional problems I had in my life growing up, and the book of Proverbs just spelled it out and said, Art, here's your problem, here's your help. And I'm not the basket case I once was anymore, because it talked about my spirit and how to heal my spirit and how to help my spirit, how to strengthen my spirit. I'm telling you, something that's the greatest book of wisdom ever written is the book of Proverbs. And the Bible says a preacher, in verse number 9, will set in order many proverbs. You guys that are going to be preachers and teachers in some capacity need to study Proverbs over and over and over again. I was in the prison yesterday. There was three preachers before me. I was the last preacher. All three of the preachers before me referred to the book of Proverbs in their preaching eventually. They had there's a scripture and a verse that apply to you in that book. And so help me, the more and more you familiarize yourself with the book of Proverbs, the less decisions you'll ever have to make. It'll make your decisions for you. It'll lead you in a life where you'll make right choice after right choice after right choice, and as a result, receive right consequences and a wonderful, happy life. You need to set in order many proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is hard. I'm not going to kid you. I've read it over 100 times in my life, and there's still things where I scratch my head and say, what does that mean? I have no idea what that means. There's still times where I'll read through Proverbs after reading through it 100 times. I read through it out loud in my home 72 times with my wife in the first 6 years of our marriage. Because some wise preacher who's in heaven now said, Art, you're getting married. You need to read the book of Proverbs every day of your life. I said, yes, sir. You know more than I do. I better listen to wisdom when it comes down. And that has helped. And some of you know how much that book has helped you. But we need to set in order many proverbs. Preachers, preach proverbs. You guys that go into the prison, preach proverbs. Preach proverbs. There's stuff in there for everybody. You name the subject and it brings it up and tells you what to do. The number 5, seek to find out acceptable words. Preachers, you that are going to be preachers, and this can help every mother. You know, there's some moms that never, ever speak to their kids with acceptable words. Look at verse 10. It says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. You know, you can say the right thing the wrong way and destroy someone. I've seen people do that. What, you got an NIV Bible? You're of the devil. Wow. Boy, that really helped that person, didn't it? Do you understand how much that Bible means to that person? They think that's the Word of God, and I don't. I think it contains the Word of God, but I think it contains a lot of errors and a lot of changes in it. But you know something? I used to own one. I used to read one, but a wise person taught me wisdom with acceptable words. They said, you know, there's over 65,000 words deleted from that Bible. And then they'd show me doctrines that were changed in that Bible and verses that were changed and so on. I said, wow, that makes sense. That's not God's Word. And I got the old King James Bible right here. Some people with this militant fundamentalist spirit about them ought to change. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm going to die that way. But I'm not a militant fundamentalist that goes around hammering people. We got to seek out acceptable words. There's always two ways to say the same thing, and one can be very, very helpful to a person. That doesn't mean when it says in verse 10, he seeks to find out acceptable words, that doesn't mean he's a compromiser. But he has learned to present them in an acceptable way. He's not coarse, he's not brash, he's not irritable, he's not negative, he's not crude, he's not nasty. And mothers and fathers, you need to be the same way. Learn to speak acceptably. Guess what book can teach you how to learn to speak acceptably? Anybody want to venture a guess on what book that might be? The book of Proverbs. Soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft tongue breaks the bones. There is that speaks like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is just. In his mouth is a rod of pride, but the tongue of the wise helps people, builds people up. It'll tell you how to speak, how not to speak. In Luke 4 and verse 22, it says, they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of the mouth of Christ. So they did. They just marveled at the gracious words. Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Nobody takes the salt shaker and takes the top off and pours the whole thing on their meal. What happens? You just destroyed your meal. But if you can take your salt shaker and just put a little bit of salt on anything you're eating, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the flavor will come out. Brings more flavor out. And if you can rear your children, moms and dads, with a lot of grace, just a little bit of salt, it'll be flavorful to your kids. Your kids won't be rejecting the Bible and rejecting the church as they get older. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer. It says, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for edifying, building up people. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. We have in our tongues the power to bring life to people. Or we have in our tongues the power to destroy people. And whatever we love is what we're going to eat the fruit of. Now, I didn't want to destroy my kids when I was raising them. I don't want to destroy them. Now, we had to tell them the truth. We had to do some correction, things like that, so on and so forth. But I don't remember ever raising my voice to my kids. I like old Teddy. Remember, speak softly, carry a big stick. The Bible will teach you how to discipline your children and still keep their hearts. You got to study that out. Don't take what I just said out of context now. Seek to find out acceptable words. Now, what are acceptable words? Verse 10. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Folks, the King James Bible is upright. It is words of truth. It has never been improved on. It is the Word of God for the English-speaking people today. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now the King James Bible right here has over 20,000 more words than the New King James Bible. Where did those 20,000 words go? I don't think any human being has a right to take them out. Back in 1979, they took 20,000 words out of this Bible that are in there. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This must not be his word. These words have passed away, some of them. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It sounds like every word in the Bible is important. There's 20,000 of them gone out of here. How can I live by every word if they're not in here? Stick to the King James, the old King James. And by the way, your kids can understand it. I've seen them. I've seen kids understand it, and they will learn the highest form of English. Don't keep the best away from your kids. They'll learn the highest form of English that's ever graced this planet. The old King James. That's when the English language was at its zenith. It was in the 1600s. Now then, verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads. Well, we better figure that out. What is a goad? The words of the wise. You want to be a wise mom? You want to be a wise dad? A wise preacher? Teacher? What's a goad? Anybody know? The shepherd rod, it's used to prick. It's used to prod. The words of the wise are as goads. We try to prick people. We try to prod people. But again, it says in Proverbs 12, verse 18, there is that speaketh as the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. We don't take the word and ram it up into people like a sword. But we do goad them. We goad our children. I go to church members all the time. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to say, get moving. Pricks. That's what a goad was. It was something to prick an animal with. Okay, time to move. We got to be moving here as Christians. And then it says this, the words of the wise are as gold and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. Now, who can give me a one-word synonym in English for that phrase, the masters of assemblies? What's a one-word English synonym today for that phrase? A carpenter. A carpenter is a master of assembly. And it says the words of the wise, a wise mother is going to use the word of God like nails placed by the masters of assemblies. The words of a wise father are going to be carefully chosen. Now what happens with the more nails that you use in a structure? The stronger it becomes. The stronger it becomes. And the words of the wise are as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. And in the church setting, I believe, it says, which are given from one shepherd. The word shepherd is the same Hebrew word as the word pastor in Jeremiah 3:15. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my pastor. He's the one that's leading me. I follow him. And then we have pastors according to God's heart who are under-shepherds over the local churches. Now the words of the wise are as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. Now I got some nails right here. You all know what nails are. This whole structure is full of nails and you can't see one of them, but thank God they're there. Thank God they're there. We cover them with plaster and corner bead and drywall compound. We sand them up and we hide them. And you can't see them, but thank God they're there. Man, if we were in a building today that had no nails in it, it would be like a house of cards ready to collapse. All right, I'm going to ask Stephen to come up right now. Pastor Seth, you can help too. And we're going to build a wall. We're going to build a wall here, and we're going to just see here the importance of having nails. Now, it's going to be a small wall. And so that's going to be the bottom of it. These are what's called the studs, and we'll put these at 16-inch centers, and those are already marked. Pastor Seth, you try to hold two of them where I've got them marked. Why don't you stand in the back so the people can see you? All right? And then we're going to put this top plate on there. And you see the pilot holes? That's where we basically want to keep the wood at 16-inch centers. There you go. We've built a wall. Voila. Isn't that great? Well, great. This is what they use, right? They use wood to make walls. Now, I want you guys to leave go of it. Let's see how great our wall is. Let's put it under a load, see how much it can bear. Not a very strong wall, would you agree? Yet it was a wall. But there's something missing from this wall that gives it strength. What is it? No nails. All right, let's nail it together. Here, bud. Take here. Here's your nails. Line it back up. I got these on 16-inch centers marked. I got pilot holes already there for them. And we're not going to get this perfect for time's sake, but we're going to build a wall. Okay, bud? And take some nails and start putting nails in, and you're going to observe something here. All right. Yeah, let's do them all. I'll come down here to Pastor Seth. Oh, you can do this one here. All right. Man, guess what's happening? With every nail he's putting in, this wall is getting stronger. Every nail that's going in, this wall is being enabled. Let's flip her over now. We'll get the bottom plate on. To carry a load. What's making the wall stronger? It's the nails fastened by the masters of assembly. You men that are going to be preachers, you're carpenters. You're carpenters. You got to be thinking. When you teach your Sunday school class, you ladies, you fathers, when you go home from work every night, you mothers, when you're there with your kids every day, you pastors, you guys that are going to be evangelists and missionaries and going to be lay preachers, these nails represent truth. The words of the wise are as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, as given from one shepherd. And as they keep pounding these nails in, this wall is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Do not scrimp on the nails. Sadly, most parents only talk to their kids 1 or 2 days a week. Now, let me ask you something. I think that's probably all I need you guys for. Thanks. What if somebody took a nail and went just like that? A lot of good that did, didn't it? Would you agree? That nail's doing nothing good right there. All right? So we took another nail, and let's say we put it in right about here. Did you ever hear a preacher that never did any good? Man, I hear them all the time. They waste sermons. They waste lessons. Sometimes moms and dads waste opportunities, talking about things that aren't important. It wouldn't do much very good if I took a nail right here this Sunday morning and put it right there, would it? Didn't strengthen the wall, did it? Those nails, they were wasted nails. Don't waste time. Don't waste time in your Sunday school class. Don't waste time in kids' clubs on Wednesday nights. Don't waste time on your bus route on the way to church and on the way home. Don't waste time in the children's church. Don't waste time in the Gracious Girls class or the Baptist Boys Battalion or something. When I preach sermons, I don't say, boy, what can I really impress them with this week? No, I say all week, Lord, how can I help people? How can I take a nail and fasten it somewhere that's going to make them stronger? I don't want to impress people. I don't care if anyone thinks I'm a good preacher. I just want to help people get stronger. The more nails they put in, the stronger and stronger and stronger this wall became. Getting stronger. Let me say this in closing here. Got four nails here. Any idea what they represent? Four nails. Huh? This is Pastor Cole's Sunday school lesson this morning. This is Pastor Cole's sermon right now. Guess what this one is? This is tonight's sermon. Designed to make you stronger at 6:30 tonight. That's what this is. Guess what this nail is? This is Wednesday night's lesson on the life of Christ. Designed to make you stronger. I want to try to drive a nail into you and drive a nail into your kids. I want to try to build you to be strong. And nail after nail after nail. Now again, you'd find the person who built this wall and you say, hey, do you remember putting that nail in, the one that was up there? They're going to say, no. We don't remember putting the nails in. But we needed every one of them. Everyone was needed. And you just put nail after nail after nail in. Moms, dads, every day of your life, you can find something to make your kids stronger. Instead of just scolding them and yelling at them and screaming at them and telling them to turn the video down, give them a truth. Read the Bible to them. Explain the Bible to them. They'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. That's what my job is as a pastor. I'm not just trying to put nails in here and say, hey, I got a really cute nail. Watch me drive this in today. And then stand by the door and tell me how wonderful my cute little story was or something. No, I'm trying to make you stronger. So you can put some weight on that. That's not going to collapse. The words of the wise are as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I didn't preach the gospel today, but we want you to know in closing that the good Lord loves you and He cares about you. And He wants to save your precious soul from your sins and give you the free gift of eternal life and take you to heaven someday when you die. That might sound morbid, but we are all going to die. And the wisest person out there, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And if you'll trust in Christ as your Savior today, you can be ready. For Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then as for the sermons, I tried to help you men that are going to be preachers and you ladies that are teachers and you moms and dads to use your words wisely. Teach people knowledge. Find out acceptable words. But I hope you'll remember nails and what they represent in the Bible. They represent sermons and lessons. And the more you'll hear, the stronger you'll get. Let's drive some accurate lessons into our children, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Lord, I pray now you'd bless our invitation, our singing, and the rest of this service. Decisions would be made that would glorify the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take